Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Who are the globalists? What is the New World Order? What will the world look like if they succeed with their plan? What are their goals? How do the different facets of globalization fit together? The nature corridors, no human use, limited use, compact cities, the biosphere zones, North American Union, taxation grid. These are some of the notes I've got I want to go over with Dr. Michael Kaufman. We'll tell you about him coming up in the next segment when he joins us in studio. In the meantime, I promise to continue with your phone calls. Let's talk to, who's up next here? Lucas in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Alex? Thanks for taking my phone call.
What do you think of that idiot in the last hour?
Well, I think the Troy is about three lights shy of a pileup, first of all. he's like when you feed a computer a paradox. He can't figure it out. You know, I wanted to bring up 2 points, but then you played that clip, which brought a third point to my mind. Has anybody ever thought about Aaron Brown, how he quit CNN right after 9/11? I think he was sick of the lies, and maybe trying to dig him up and see what his point of view on 9/11 was, for one.
Well, they brought him back, though.
I haven't seen, I haven't really seen much of Aaron Brown. I mean, as in, you know, being in the spotlight like he used to be. But the 2 points I wanted to bring up were, the actual two groups of people that exist out there. One of them is the people that are awake that aren't doing anything. They're like a deer caught in the headlights. And another group is the people that are like the ostrich with their head stuck in the ground. See, this isn't going to work because we don't have a decent, you know, we have to have a decentralized organization. We can't have a leader. So every person that's awake needs to at least wake up one person. They at least need to take it on themselves to go out there and actually wake up one person. You know, you need to put in some personal sacrifice if you want to get anything out of this. Like, for instance, with me, you know, I was supposed to get married in March. I put my wedding on hold. I gave up my good job. I've sold more than half of my own personal belongings to promote 9/11 truth. I moved to Austin, Texas, so I could be closer to the fight. You know, I'm not going to run away from it. I'm going to come towards the action because, I mean, that's the only way to beat it. You know, it's like the people in that movie Deep Impact, where the giant wave was coming down over New York City and all these people are running from it. What's the use? I mean, you might as well turn around and flip at the bird. There's nothing you can do about it, so you might as well stand and fight it. You know, that's just one point I wanted to bring up. And, you know, if my fiance's out there listening, I want to say, baby, I love you and miss you a lot. You know, it's been a long, hard road, that's for sure. But everybody's going to have to make some personal sacrifice if you're going to want this to work out, or else we're all going to be slaves. That's basically the bottom line.
I agree with you. If we don't stand up against it, we will all be slaves. Thank you for the call. Who's calling from Oklahoma? Conley, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, thank you. God bless you, Mr. Jones, and I've been praying for you. Hope the allergies are, leaving you alone right now.
They have been abating, yes.
Yeah, well, thank God for that. I just want to say, bring this to your attention. This is the New World Order, I think, in action. In Tulsa, they have the... parents are not allowed to go into the schools anymore unless they...
Yeah, that's nationwide. The parents have to have ID cards. They're not even allowed to get in. They have to go through police and swipe cards and run background checks. They're little mini prisons. And this is a big part of the globalist takeover, is saying that the schools will be the place where they re-engineer the youth.
Yeah, I'm just glad they didn't do that when I was in school.
Anyone who has their children in a government training camp needs to have their head examined. I don't care if you got to work two or three jobs extra to put them in private school or homeschool them. Do it, folks. Get them out of there.
Yeah. Second thing is, I want to know if in Texas, your states, y'all have to fingerprint your driver's license.
Yes. Yeah. That's the national ID card, real IDX, or biometrics at your driver's license. It's really a North American Union ID card. Thank you for the call. Dr. Michael Kaufman in studio on the other side. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back.
It's here.
year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands. My new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, the White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438. Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean, real hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Wake up, boys, there's a light at the window. I can hear someone knocking on the door. There are voices in the street and the sound of running feet, and they whisper the word
revolution.
There are men coming down from the valleys. There are tall ships flying off the coast, and they carry the light in the dark of the night, like a whisper in the wind.
Revolution.
Bring my gun and a handful of silver. By the sea we will gather for the fight. It's been so many years, so many tears. We have lost once before. Now we'll settle the score when our cannons will roar. Get ready for the sign.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Michael Kaufman, Ph.D., has such a lengthy bio, I wouldn't even attempt to try to cover it all. But he was assigned to the U.S. Forest Service decades ago in developing an ecological land classification system for each of the national forests in Region 9. Again, that ties into the whole Agenda 21 New World Order program. He has been at the highest management levels in major U.S. corporations. He is currently the president of Environmental Perspectives, and he is really one of the leading experts in a wide spectrum analysis of the New World Order. Back in the mid-1990s to late 1990s, some of his environmental mapping of current and projected biosphere, man the biosphere zones, national and international heritage sites, helped defeat some key New World Order legislation they were attempting to ram through the Congress. And his bio just goes on and on and on. We are so honored to have him in studio with us today. Dr. Kaufman, thank you for coming down from Bangor, Maine.
Well, thank you. It's much warmer down here than Bangor.
I bet. Network, are you getting him good? Is his audio good? Fantastic. Dr. Kaufman, because you can talk about yourself better than I know you're a humble man, don't like to, give the listeners just a brief rundown of who you are, how you woke up, and then let's go through the basics and then into the specifics of the Globalist Master Plan.
Well, I have a Ph.D., Alex, in environmental sciences and forestry, and have actually done research, taught in universities and so forth for a number of years. And joined was a timber company, a paper company, back in 1980 to do research primarily, head up the research primarily for that particular company in forests and ecosystems and so forth. And it was during that time I was working on a multi-million-dollar research effort on the effects of acid rain and global climate change on our nation's forests that I became aware that, you know, the environmentalists, I worked closely with the EPA and the U.S. Forest Service and many environmental organizations, and it became very obvious to me that they really weren't, they weren't interested in protecting the environment. They were interested in advancing an agenda. And so I began to do research as to what it is that was motivating them and what they're, where they were going. And I was shocked to realize that at least in the leadership, both of our government and the non-governmental organizations that were involved in this, were what's called pantheists, the belief that nature is God. And therefore, their role was not in serving the American people, but in protecting nature from the American people.
And really, this is just the little management cult group that the big central bankers of the world system use to implement. For the listeners that just joined us, tell folks about your education, what your doctorate's in.
My doctorate's in forest ecology and sciences, and had been doing a lot of research in that particular area. Actually did develop an ecological classification system back in the 1980s in order to help foresters and help land managers pick the right species to manage on that piece of land to actually maximize production for human use while protecting the environment at the same time.
None of us want to hurt the earth.
No.
But they know that everybody deep down wants to protect the environment, so they use that. In fact, in my studies, modern environmentalism was started by John D. Rockefeller I over 100 years ago, and they ran giant scams all over North America and even into the Caribbean, getting large pieces of land that later they develop. But in the name of protecting it, they'll first lay it off use, then they force you to sell, and now we see that right here in Austin, Texas, where they grab 15,000 acres with a bond proposal, say it's going to be a huge city park, like a state park,
yes,
and then no one's allowed to go into it, and it's five-star hotels, five-star spas, five-star,
yes,
exactly, well, here it was in 10, five-star golf courses, the smallest homes, $1 million apiece, and many of the people involved in it actually live there in these huge estates themselves. Can you speak to the Rockefellers and the globalists and how the modern environmental movement was started?
It was actually 100 years ago with Muir and starting the Sierra Club and so forth. And he, again, was a pantheist, to believe that nature is God. I won't go into that particular aspect of it, but he truly believed that we need to set vast acreages of land aside for the principal purpose of allowing nature to go her own way, because, in essence, nature is the foundation of all life, and therefore we must protect it at all costs. It actually languished for about 100 years until the, well, not 100, about 60 or 70 years, until the 1960s with the advent of the New Age movement and the counterculture movement, and then it began to take on some real power.
Which thought it was counterculture, but really foundation funded the whole time.
That's right. The whole counterculture movement was orchestrated and funded not only by the foundations, but was inspired by a pantheistic belief system, a cult religious belief system, whose origins are found in theosophy, or the belief that nature is God. and taken through what is now known as Lucifer Trust, which is the organization for the elite to implement their ideas, headed up by Alice Bailey in the first half of the 20th century.
Let's go through. We've got a lot of notes here I want to cover. Who are the globalists?
The globalists, there's actually five different layers of globalists that are trying to vie for world power. And the most important one is the banking system, as you alluded to a little while ago. The banking system of both England or Great Britain and the United States, I call it the Anglo-American faction. They are a powerful, powerful organization. I can't say that they actually run the United States and Great Britain, but they do heavily influence. It's called a shadow government, and basically, if they want to implement a program, it's done. It's done.
Wouldn't you call that running it?
It's pretty much close to running it, although they do suffer setbacks. There are factions.
So they don't have total control.
They don't have total control.
But they're able to guide and steer, and they never give up.
And they never, ever give up. If they can't get it one way, they will get it another.
Well, let's break that down then in specifics. How much control does the Anglo-American faction have?
The Anglo-American faction, basically, if they want to put something in place, it will happen. They will try. They'll put up trial balloons to see what will work. This concept of the North American Union is one of those that they're striving for right now. And if that doesn't work, then they'll call it something else. It'll be the same program, whether it's in education, science, it doesn't matter. Whatever particular area they want to gain control over, they will basically throw out these balloons to see what works. If that doesn't work, they'll change the name, maybe change it slightly as far as how they proceed to do it. And eventually, it may take 5 years, it may take 20 years, in some cases 30 years, but it will happen.
Right now, we're seeing a full court press where they turn off the Colosseum in Rome. They turn off the lights for 5 minutes at the Eiffel Tower. Prince Charles won't fly to a certain function on a jet. Nancy Pelosi can't have a bigger jet because it may hurt the environment, the Speaker of the House. They're going to have climate change concerts, they say, that will dwarf Live Aid. They have Virgin Atlantic's Branson offering $25 million in a global warming prize. There's a doomsday vault that now has to even fortify itself because they say the Earth just may totally flood. And their answer is a global carbon tax, which, even if you believe in global warming, does nothing to address that.
That's exactly right. In fact, the whole global warming issue is a farce. It's a sham, basically, to advance this agenda and create a condition in which the United States, the citizenry of the United States, is going to be willing to give up our sovereignty in order to control what they perceive as a doomsday scenario, that if they don't get a handle on it within the next 10 years, that's what we've been hearing now. Actually, if you remember back in the early 1990s, they said we had 10 years to do it or we're doomed. Well, now it's been 15 years ago now, and of course nothing's changed. Well, the same thing is going on right now. Global warming is occurring, don't get me wrong, but it's not caused by man.
From all the studies I've done, is it not the sun that is increasing
Yes.
its radiance?
Yes. We had what was called a little ice age back in the 1700s and 1800s, and during that period of time, there's a high correlation between sunspot activity and the energy output of the sun. There were almost no solar flares, no sunspots during the early 1800s. And it got about a degree and a half colder than it is right now.
They were observing the sun. The British societies and others were observing it then.
Yes. It goes back to Galileo when he was able to develop his telescope and we were able to really take a close look at the sun.
Stop right there. Let's talk about what's really causing global warming versus what they're saying is causing it. And then the UN's own report that came out 2 weeks ago admits, okay, man's 6% of the change. So what does a tax do that won't even reduce emissions? It's just unbelievable. But they know it's a general public who just hears the hype. We got to have a solution. They don't even know what this, quote, solution is.
Attention, this is an urgent GCN News Bulletin. Do you desperately need to get out of debt fast? Would you like to make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're a GCN listener, there's a very real chance that you'll now be able to do it. Here's why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're cheating, but they're not. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Learn how to finally teach those financial vultures some humility by beating them at their own game, and above all, learn how to bail out for a soft landing. Get control. Get relief. Get some sleep. Go to www.outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com. Or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Ted Anderson from Midas. February 9th, 2007. Gold is at $660.70. The ounce gold coins are at $682.07, $343.59 for half, $171.79 for quarter ounce. That's $682.07, $343.59, and $171.79. 1971, Nixon closes the gold window. Fiat currency, 1920s. The German mark explodes from 75 to 23 trillion. 1995, gold doubles against the Mexican peso. 1997, gold increases 82% over the Indonesian rupee. 1998, gold jumps two-thirds over the Russian ruble. 2002, the Argentine peso loses a fifth of its value to gold. 2006, the last superpower, the USA's mighty dollar, loses over half to gold and other raw goods. Could government let this happen? Without immediate backing, how much will it lose? Midas has Nick Barashev's report covering the loss of purchasing power, fat tail events, bull market economic vulnerabilities, and gold-oil relationship. You've lost half of your purchasing power. Call 800-686-2237 before the rest disappears. That's 800-686-2237.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Hey, Jane, how's it going?
Gosh, I'm not doing so well. Even though I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, my blood sugar is way out of control.
Oh, Jane, I'm sorry to hear that.
I have to monitor my blood sugar again. If there was only something natural I could take that would help control my blood sugar that really works.
Have you tried Sucroblast?
For millions of Americans who can't keep their high blood sugar levels off their minds, there's Sucroblast. Sucroblast is the all-natural way to help keep your high blood sugar levels under control. For a limited time, you can get a free consultation from a Sucroblast specialist. Call 1-800-99-HEALTHY. That's 1-800-99-HEALTHY. Or visit them on the web at MyBloodSugarBreakthrough.com. That's MyBloodSugarBreakthrough.com.
So, Jane, what do you think?
I'm going to call Sucroblast to set up a free consultation right now.
Excellent, Jane. He'll be glad you did.
Every move the globalists make, every bond they break, every scam they run, we're going to be here exposing them. NASA, the European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, scores of private universities all study the sun. Its last 12-year cycle was the biggest radiance ever recorded. And now they're saying that it didn't stop there. It's continuing to increase. And NASA said last year, and they hope this doesn't happen, I certainly hope it doesn't, that its radiance could double in the next 12 years if it doesn't start reversing that. That's pretty scary, Dr. Michael Kaufman, and I don't think SUVs have anything to do with the nuclear reactions in the center of the sun.
Not likely. It is very interesting that the solar radiation and the Earth's temperature are highly correlated. In fact, they can actually be almost on a daily coordination. We had a major solar eruption back in 1998 at the same time as we had El Nino, and we had a solar spike within a week. A temperature increase within a week of that event that peaked out within a few days, about a week or so. And this is global. This isn't just the United States or a local regional area. This was global. And the two combination, the El Nino and a solar spike in which we had a major solar eruption that was pointed right at Earth, actually changed the Earth's temperature right away. And if you go back into the 1700s, you can actually see the correlation between the Earth's temperature and the emissions of radiant energy by the sun.
Did you see the NASA report about the sun just intensing its overall emissions to a level that they never recorded?
Yes. In fact, this is not really surprising because it's very likely that the solar emissions were much higher at one time. In fact, in 1200 A.D., the temperature of the Earth was about a degree and a half warmer than it is today. I mean, it was much warmer. And if you go back 1,000 years ago, it was even warmer yet. So this is nothing really new.
And how do they gain those readings?
They actually look at sedimentation in the ocean. If it's recent time, they can look in bogs and so forth for the type of pollen in the oceans. It's the type of crustaceans and so forth of the sedimentation levels. Those things live at certain temperatures, and therefore they can calculate roughly what the Earth's temperature was based on that. It's not real accurate, of course, but it's accurate when you start talking about degrees.
Don't the ice cores show the same?
The ice cores show the same, and ironically, the ice cores, for the most part, there are a couple of exceptions, but the ice cores themselves show that carbon dioxide increases usually after global warming begins.
The European Space Agency and NASA and many others also reported in the last year the entire solar system, including the ice caps of Mars, are melting.
That's correct. And again, it shouldn't be surprising. If the sun gets warmer, the Earth should get warmer too, as does Mars. I mean, it's really not a hard thing to make a connection to.
Won't that warming, at least from past studies they've done, actually increase the vegetative growth belts?
Yes. In fact, NASA has taken pictures and have actually posted them on their internet site showing that the northern latitudes, the far northern latitudes, have actually greened up considerably in the last 20 years because of the increase in carbon dioxide and temperature. Carbon dioxide is called a plant fertilizer. That's what causes it to grow. I mean, a plant takes in carbon dioxide, uses it to build cells and food and so forth.
And I've seen the big studies that have been done by multiple universities and institutions, and tell me if I'm wrong, this is what your doctorate's in, but plants, unlike humans, will just grow faster and actually take in more carbon dioxide. And so if there is an increase in carbon dioxide, plants will just increase absorption and then increase level of oxygen.
Absolutely. The more the plants grow, the more oxygen there is, and the more food. In fact, there are some scientists, now this is in hot debate right now within the scientific community, but there are some scientists that will actually say that we could potentially increase food production in the world by 50% by nothing more than increasing or doubling the level of CO2.
Well, we know it was the end of the last ice age that allowed agrarian societies to move from hunter-gatherers to agrarian,
yes,
then to the city-states, and then to civilization.
Absolutely. In fact, back in 1200 A.D., when we had what's known as the medieval optimal, they were growing crops, the Vikings were growing crops in Greenland where there's now hundreds of feet of ice.
So again, we have many ice ages, we have many heat ups.
That's correct. And we have many ones. Last 11,000 years, we had warmer periods, cooler periods, warmer periods, cooler periods. If you look at the trend over the last 10,000, 11,000 years, the trend is downward. And we should be more concerned with the next ice age than we should be with global warming. It has been much warmer than it is right now in the last 11,000 years. Going back to those temperatures will actually probably increase food production, increase the habitable parts of the world, and so forth.
What are the studies on the photoplankton?
The photo what?
What are the studies on what increased temperatures will cause with plankton?
Actually, the increased temperatures will increase the cause of plankton, which will increase then the food supply, because plankton is a basic food substance in the ocean, the basis of the food chain in the ocean. So you're going to have far more productive oceans.
So it sounds to me like global warming is a good thing overall.
I believe it is. Now, we need to approach this cautiously. There's not much we're going to be able to do about it. This whole idea of Kyoto and so forth, of trying to limit carbon dioxide emissions, as you mentioned earlier, is a fiasco. At best, it might reduce the actual Earth's temperature by 0.15 degrees in the next 100 years.
Stay there.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Government is best which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at libertystickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that at the 29 Palms Marine Base located in California, a questionnaire was given to Marines stationed there? It discussed the United States military under UN command. Would the Marines accept this? The final statement to be answered, yes or no, was, I would fire upon American citizens who refuse or resist confiscation of firearms banned by the United States government. Is this what Americans want? Forced confiscation of guns? We'd like to help you understand how these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call for a one-year free subscription to Newswatch Magazine.
We're discussing vital information for the future of this country during the break. Which Mexican food place is the most important and most delicious to go to? Because he's from Maine. And I said, where do you want to go eat after this before we do more interviews for the film I'm making, The Globalist Master Plan? I don't know the name yet. It's in development right now, but that's just its working title. And we're having discussions about which Mexican food restaurant to go to. But we really shouldn't be consuming that much. It's bad for the earth. I want to go back into global warming. But first, the five different globalist factions. I've talked to you about this before, but it's important, and I agree with your five factions, because all governments are wicked. History shows that. Common sense shows that. The Bible says that. But let's go over the five different factions, and then we'll get back into global warming and then just run through who the globalists are, what their master plan is.
Well, we've already talked about the Anglo-American faction. That's the banking system, really, of the world. They control the money flow. They control the money, basically, of the world. That makes them very, very powerful. That's controlled by Great Britain and the United States, the power elite of Great Britain and the United States.
Would you say they're the dominant group?
Absolutely, by far, by heads. Then you have the socialist Europeans. They're the second. And they were actually joined with the Anglo-American faction for a number of decades. But about 30 years ago, they began to split off because they did not like capitalism. They wanted to have a socialist form of government, totally socialist. Now, the capitalists will like to have socialism, too, because socialism allows them to control you and I. But the socialist Europeans want to be in the driver's seat. They do not want to be held hostage to the banks. And therefore, they have another faction, and they have been playing behind the scenes in a number of ways to try to discredit the banking system, to try to discredit America and the United States. And they're pushing very hard the Kyoto Protocol, because the Kyoto Protocol will cause the United States to go bankrupt, and they know it. And they want to be in control of that whole agenda by the United Nations.
And you always have this. Let's take a classical, say, Italian mafia model. And we know this from the hearings and the testimonies, and it's now on record. And, of course, it was called a conspiracy theory in the 50s and didn't exist, according to Hugh Hoover, because they were blackmailing him. But we did get the model. You had really 10 big families. They would meet in New York. They'd meet in New Jersey. They would meet in Miami every year. and then one of these meetings actually got busted, but this was a smaller elite but the same type model. You got 10, 12 families around a table. They fight with each other. They try to undercut each other, but they still agree upon the major criminal operations they're running against, yes, the public and keeping them in the dark. Can you parallel just the classical mafia to the larger global mafia and how they compete with each other at a higher level, but at the same time do collude and move together on major agenda lines? They just compete over who makes the major profits and consolidations within that system.
Absolutely. In fact, I never thought of it in the context of the mafia, but that's exactly what happens. You know, we can't reinvent what human beings have done in the past, and they really picked up that same model at the globalist level. And then within the, you have the third one, which is the Russian Federation and those and the various colonies and so forth of Russia that is trying, it's a distant cousin, let me tell you, as far as power is concerned. But they're acting more as a spoiler to come in and try to ruin the plans of the Anglo-American faction.
Now, from my research, the Anglo-American faction had a lot of control during,
yes,
the Stage Cold War, but it does seem that now it is split away to a certain extent.
That's correct. In fact, it was by design. Obviously, the Soviet Union had to fall. If we were going to have world government, we couldn't have two major power factions that were still vying for one another like we did with the Soviet Union and the United States.
And as you said, the European faction is now working to make the dominant unipolar,
yes,
system fall.
That's right. So that they're in control. Now, none of these are against world government. What they really want is to be in power for themselves. They want to be the top dog in what actually emerges as the world government. Then you have China. China's another spoiler, and I think we're going to hear a lot more about China here in the next year or two and what they're trying to do. They got their fingers in this North American Union, too. So, I mean, it's one of those things where China is playing a major role in manipulation of the world economy and so forth, and they're a major player. And then finally, 9/11 was the Islamists. There's no question about it. The Islamic community was behind 9/11, primarily funded by Saudi Arabia and the sheikhs and so forth, and the Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. Is a product both of the United States and the CIA and so forth, as you've had on your program here before, and the sheikhs and so forth in Saudi Arabia and the militant Islamists around the world. They are being used to try to counterbalance what is actually happening by the Anglo-American faction.
So who's pulling that fifth small faction strings, in your view?
I think it's the Anglo-American faction. I think there's every evidence to suggest that the Anglo-American faction is using that hatred that's within the Islamic movement to foment that kind of thing. After all, if you have a world government, one of the reasons that they've been able to gain so much control is by using fear. They try to do a global warming, environmental holocaust, and so forth. It only has a certain amount of success, though. They need to create the whole concept of fear of another nation or something that's kept nations and so forth.
So you have the Cold War, that peters,
yep,
out. Now you have war on terror, war on drugs, war on environmental degradation.
That's exactly right. They needed to have a straw horse out there that would keep people in a state of fear so that they can be controlled. That's always been the efforts of rulers since time immemorial, is that they use fear to keep their people in line.
We have the dominant faction, the Anglo-American establishment, clearly going in the late 70s, trying to radicalize the Muslims. That's now on record, even paying for the Hadith manuals in these schools to radicalize, actually starting the war with the Soviets to pull them in. We know that now the former CIA section chief even went on History Channel and admitted that our government actually put Mao into power.
Mm-hmm.
We know that in the 70s they, quote, went public with that and opened China up to use that as an economic leverage point to deindustrialize the United States and Western Europe as well. That's worked wonderfully. And then we know the Anglo-American banking establishment has control levers in the other major four groups that you delineated. But getting back to 9/11, I mean, no doubt there was some Saudi connections, but as you said, the Anglo-American establishment wanted that as then a pretext to build up an enemy,
yes,
to then expand Anglo-American hegemon around the world. So
absolutely.
So how do you separate the two?
Well, you actually see the Anglo-American faction manipulating the hatred and so forth of the Islamists.
Well, that's in P2OG, where they say, we're,
yeah,
going to go attack them and then make them attack us.
That's correct. Because if you can't have war as a motivating factor anymore, because you have a world government that's supposed to be a peace, right? You need something that is causing agitation, constant agitation, a constant state of fear that's coming from the outside. And periodically, we're going to have major terrorist attacks in the United States that are going to succeed to remind us that we need this government in order to protect us and lose our individual sovereignty in the process.
Can you speak to problem, reaction, solution?
No.
I mean, by problem, reaction, solution, you were just going over it, how they create crises
yes.
and then offer a solution?
Yes. No question about it. It goes right along with the Hegelian dialectic, where you create a crisis of major magnitude to get people to accept something lesser in the process they've lost what they've had in the first place.
I mean, break that down, because I've heard you break it down in the past. Other examples of that. I mean, is that why they fund the Soviets? They fund the communist
yes.
Chinese. They actually build up communist revolutions in Latin America. Then they have the counterbalance. I mean,
it happens all the time, all around the world. And it's one of those things where you have to keep the people in a state of agitation in order to get them to go along with what you want to do. And as long as you have them in a state of fear, in fact, our founding fathers, Hamilton and others, basically said that we will lose our freedoms not from attack from the outside, but attack from the inside by people creating a state of fear, and we're willing to give up our freedoms for peace and security.
We've walked through the five big factions, just boiling it all down, condensing it. We know there's a world government. We know there's world tax. We know there's a world court. Walk us through that, and then why they're pushing all this hype that, quote, there's global warming and that a carbon tax or wellhead tax will fix it. And, I mean, the basic facts are a tax on it will do nothing. But they're selling that as the solution. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. In fact, if you're going to have a world government, as they're trying to do with the United Nations, it may not wind up being the United Nations, but there will be some sort of world government. They need to have money to operate in. They need to have a lot of it because it's going to be a bureaucracy. They will not have an elected form of government. You're going to be ruled by bureaucrats that have their own agenda. That's clear, very clear, in what the United Nations is proposing in its various treaties and so forth. And they have been very active in trying to get a global tax, the Tobin tax, you name it, tax on wellheads, the carbon tax, you call it. They're talking about raising trillions of dollars in taxes to support this bureaucracy, and it's going to come right out of your pocketbook.
So let's be clear. We're not saying the Earth doesn't go through routine in the scheme of time. Routine changes. So they take changes they're already gauging and then try to stampede people through a panic to accept a world tax for a world government.
That's right.
That isn't even a solution to climate change.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, the Kyoto Protocol had nothing to do with solving global warming because they can't solve global warming. At best, as we've already said, it would reduce the Earth's temperature by 0.15 degrees. What it does do is it provides the United Nations both a form of income as well as a global income redistribution plan. It'll be taken out of the developed nations and put into the developing nations. And it's a massive, massive socialist enterprise in order to shift the financial strength of the world away from the United States and Europe and so forth and into the third world nations. It will not build up the third world nations because the third world nations are poor because of their government activities. They will never really be improved until they accept certain principles, which means they have to give up authority. However, it will reduce, no, without any question at all, our standard of living, Europe's standard of living and so forth, down to almost third world status.
Why does the elite want to destroy the middle class?
Because in the middle class, there's power. In the middle class, there's the ability for the middle class to control them. Because if you have a middle class that is powerful, has independence and its own personal sovereignty and so forth, you have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, and they can't operate under those conditions. They must have control. And the only way that they can have control is to create a two-tiered system, basically, of the poor or the serfs and the elite, just like we had under the feudal system in the Dark Ages.
Let's speak specifically, because in their own UN documents, in their own Ford Foundation and Rockefeller Brothers Foundation and LePew Foundation and Nature Conservancy, they say they want a neo-feudalist serf state. And a world population reduction of 80 to 90%. Can you go through neo-feudalism, neo-serfdom, speak specifically to those, and what their master plan is, what the world would look like if they succeeded?
One of the things that is very shocking to most Americans is the fact that the United Nations Global Biodiversity Assessment, which came out in 1995, clearly shows that in order to protect planet Earth, we have to go back to a feudal system. They actually said that in the document. Because there you have just a few elitists. If you have a middle class, supposedly, then you have so much impact on the Earth with such a demand on Earth's resources and so forth, you cause destruction of biodiversity and all the rest, global warming and so forth. So we must have a two-tiered system.
Excuse me. So to be specific, they're openly saying that enslavement, I mean, this is their total rationale for being feudal lords, but continue.
Yes. So you have a feudal system established that was that's actually stated in this United Nations document called the Global Biodiversity Assessment. And then they want to reduce the Earth's population on the premise, of course, that we're overpopulating and the Earth cannot sustain the level of population that we have right now, which is hogwash. In fact, study after study after study, even the United Nations, if you go to the United Nations population site and look at to see what they actually said, that, you know, there's 50 billion people and so forth that's been thrown around, and the United Nations says that most will probably wind up between 9 and 11 billion people by 2050, and then it will start to decline and go back to about 6 billion that we have right now. They admit that there's really no population problem. But they have to create another scare story, and as a consequence, they put out this idea that there are too many people out there, the limits of growth and so forth that the Club of Rome put out back in the 1970s, says that we're going to run out of resources and so forth, which is hogwash.
Well, what a perfect excuse for would-be tyrants to say that people are the enemy, and then central world government is going to decide how to deal with that threat. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. In fact, the whole environmental movement that has been orchestrated by the Lucius Trust Organization and the various foundation is to convey the idea that we no longer have an enemy on the outside trying to destroy us. We have defined, as Pogo used to say in his cartoons, we are the enemy. And therefore, we ourselves have to take actions that will diminish this threat.
Please continue.
And as a result of that, what we're seeing right now is the fact that we need to have a human population reduction. In fact, the first copy, it doesn't say it in the actual final copy, but in the draft copy of the United Nations Global Biodiversity Assessment, it states very clearly that we must reduce the human population from its current level of about 6 billion people down to about 1 billion people. Then we might be able to save planet Earth.
Dr. Pianca came out and gave speeches here in Texas. He's a University of Texas professor. And he said that we need to have a worldwide police state like China has, and these are quotes, to be able to forcibly carry out world population reduction. And at meetings where there were over 1,000 people, he was giving standing ovations.
You know, it's a psychosis that seems to affect the elites or those who believe that they're elite. That we are the enemy and we must do something to stop ourselves. And that is one of the things. And I've actually, Alex, back in my early days before the environmentalists really knew who I was, I used to go to some of these organizational meetings and so forth and talk to some of these leaders and ask them that very question. Why is it that you believe that humanity must offer itself up on the altar of nature? And they would give me the spiel, of course, that we're damaging the Earth and its ecosystems and so forth. And I said, well, if you really believe that, why is it that you don't offer yourself up first on the altar of nature? And they would just look at me with this blank stare, like that never even occurred to them. And their typical reaction would be something around the idea, well, we need to be here to make sure it gets done right.
This sounds like control freaks on steroids.
Yes, it is. It really is.
Can you speak to control freaks?
Control freaks have to be able to control. In fact, the whole globalist agenda is based on the ability of them to control every movement. In fact, in Agenda 21, United Nations Agenda 21, is built on the premise that at the global level, every human action is controlled. Now, that doesn't mean they're cognizant of every emotion that every human being makes, but we are limited to what we can do to very, very narrow ranges of choices, and therefore we are controlled on a day-to-day basis, almost on an hour basis, what we can do, when we can do it, and how we do it.
This sounds like a control freak paradise.
It does. It really does. And that's the tragedy of what we're seeing right now, is that it must be through control And in the process, of course, we no longer will be a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. We'll be a nation that is controlled by the elite.
Is there a program behind schedule?
Yes, it is, and no, it's not. Back in the early 1920s, Alice Bailey had set out in her books a goal for the early 2000s of having this fully implemented. In fact, by 2007, that's right now, she thought that this would be in place. But it doesn't always happen that way. And the one thing that you have to recognize about this global elite and the Anglo-American faction is if they suffer setbacks, that's okay. They'll fall back, reorganize, and try it from a different angle. And, of course, that takes time. Back when I stopped the Convention on Biological Diversity...
Let's talk about that when we get back. Let's talk about these nature corridors, how they mesh with the toll roads when we get back.
It's here. After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Hey ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Dr. Kaufman, you actually mapped the United Nations agreements that the bureaucracies are implementing, despite the fact that it was defeated in Congress thanks to your efforts and others, to have large portions of the country off-limits or restricted use for humans. We've laid those over the 83 NAFTA highways, not just I-35, and all the other toll road systems, and they match. Let's go through how you were able to shoot down at least the official implementation, but how they're now doing it by stealth, as Pastor and others was just talking about on Lou Dobbs last night, and we're going to play that in the next hour. Go through that for us and then talk about these nature corridors, the biospheres, and how they tie in with the roads.
Well, as you've alluded to several times, Alex, once you understand what their agenda is, it's not hard to anticipate what they're going to do next. As an environmental scientist, I had been following this process as to what is known as the Wildlands Project for a number of years, and realized that in 1992, at the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, they were going to put forth this Convention on Biological Diversity, and I knew at that time it was going to be the de facto Wildlands Project. And the de facto Wildlands Project requires that half of the United States be put into wilderness reserves and corridors, interconnecting corridors, so that you have this mosaic of what looks like a blood system, a blood vessel system, and a human being in place across the United States. And at that time, I began to draw a map as to what this would look like. I knew this is what they were going to do. And when the convention actually made it, it surfaced in 1992, it was, lo and behold, true. And it was about three-quarters with the map done when the convention was brought up by the Senate. The first President Bush actually refused to sign it. Clinton did the first few days he was in office, and it came into the U.S. Senate, and it was going to come out with a recommendation to ratify. It was only 18 pages long. It wasn't even a complete treaty. They wanted to get the United States to ratify an unwritten treaty with all the verbiage and so forth that was going to be added later. I knew what it was going to be. They had the language in there to actually implement the Wildlands Project. And again, the Wildlands Project calls for putting aside one half of the United States into wilderness or corridors and reserves. So I drew this map, took it to the U.S. Senate when it finally came out for a vote in 1994, and make a long story short, it was so shocking that they blew this up on a 4x6-foot poster and took it out on the Senate floor. It was so shocking that Senator Mitchell, who was a majority leader at that time, withdrew it from the executive calendar. They never voted on it.
So even the Democrats said no.
Even the Democrats said no. That's correct.
I remember that on television at the time. Do you have that on tape?
No, I don't. I wanted to get a hold of the tape, but I never could find one.
And I've seen photos of it in magazines of them up there on the Senate floor with pointers and
yes.
The big map.
Yes. Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson actually took it out on the Senate floor.
It's amazing. Now, half is off limits, but other areas are restricted as well.
Absolutely. The rest of the half, according to the Wildlands Project, had to be highly controlled in order to protect the core attributes of the wilderness areas, in other words, of nature. And
those are buffer zones.
No longer was human well-being and human welfare the central core of the government's purpose. It was the protection of these environmental attributes that was the sole purpose of government, and everybody else, the whole population, had to adapt their standard of living to protect those core environmental attributes.
But isn't that really just an excuse for these controllers to have absolute dominance?
Absolutely. In fact, they were talking about, in the original draft, it talked about having whole communities, whole towns, ripped off of the face of the earth. Highways ripped out, and so forth. So only a few highways remained, and that brings us, of course, to the superhighways that we're talking about here today. This was actually part of this agenda, I believe, back in 1994, is to divide the world up into little cells, or little human enclaves, as they were called, so that people were isolated from other enclaves, had very little communication or contact with other isolated enclaves, so they didn't know what's going on. And they have been very effective. People have been attacked ferociously all across this country, and they think they're by themselves. They don't realize it. It's happening to everyone.
Let's talk about that when we get back.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.